Chapter 7. Return to England. Throughout my stay in Brobdingnag, as the country was called, I hoped I would some day become free again, though it was impossible to imagine how this could happen. The ship in which I sailed was the first one ever to come close to their coast, and the king had given strict orders that if another ever appeared, it should be brought on shore and carried to him with all its crew and passengers. He wanted to find me a woman of my own size, so we could have children, but I think I would rather have died than have my descendants kept in cages and perhaps sold as curiosities in the kingdom. I was treated with great kindness, and the king and queen loved me, but I was living in a way that was very humiliating. I wished to be among people with whom I could talk equally, and walk about the streets and fields without fear of being stepped on and killed like a frog or a young puppy. But my freedom came sooner than I expected, and in a very unusual way. I had now been in this country for 2 years. At about the beginning of the third year, Glumdalclitch and I went with the king and queen and the royal family on a trip to the south coast of the kingdom. I was carried, as usual, in my traveling box. I wished to see the ocean, which could be the only way for me to escape, if it would ever be possible. But Glumdalclitch was very ill and had to stay in bed. I pretended to be a bit ill too, and said that I needed the fresh air of the sea and asked permission for a young servant to take me there. I will never forget with what unwillingness Glumdalclitch finally agreed to this, nor the strict orders she gave to the boy to be careful with me. She began to cry at the same time, as if she somehow knew what was going to happen to me. The boy took me out in my box about half an hour's walk from the palace towards the rocks on the seashore. I asked him to set me down and told him I wanted to take a nap, so he shut the windows of my box to keep out the cold sea wind. I'm not sure what happened next, but all I can suppose is that the servant, thinking nothing bad could possibly happen to me, went among the rocks to look for birds' eggs. I was suddenly awoken by a violent pull upon the ring which was attached to the top of my box to make it easier to carry. I felt my box lifted high in the air and then carried forward with great speed. I shouted several times as loud as I could. I looked out my windows but could see nothing but clouds and sky. I heard a noise just over my head like the flapping of wings and then realized that an eagle had grabbed the ring of my box in its beak, planning to let it fall on the rocks to break it open, like a tortoise in a shell, and then pull out my body and eat it. After a while, the noise and flapping of wings increased, and my box was tossed up and down. I heard several bangs, and then, all of a sudden, felt myself falling straight down for over a minute. My fall was stopped by a terrible crash, after which everything was dark for another minute. Then my box began to rise higher, and I could see some light through my windows. I realized that I had fallen into the sea. I supposed that the eagle which had flown away with my box was chased by two or three other eagles and was forced to let me drop while it was defending itself against the rest, who all wanted to eat me. My box was so strongly built that it didn't break when it hit the surface of the water. During this time, I often thought of my dear Glumdalclitch and wished to be with her. I felt sorry for her, for surely she would be very sad to find me gone, and the king and queen would be angry with her. Surely no other travelers had been under as much stress as I experienced at this time, expecting every moment that my box would be smashed to pieces. Even if my box survived and did not fill up with water, what could I expect but a miserable death from cold and hunger? For 4 hours I was in this situation, expecting every moment to be my last. While I was in this miserable state, I heard a noise on the side of my box where the rings for the belt were, and soon it began to feel like the box was being pulled along the sea. This gave me some small feeling of hope, though I was not able to imagine how this could be happening. I called for help in a loud voice in all the languages I knew. I tied my handkerchief to my walking stick and put it out the hole at the top of my box, waving it several times in the air, so that if any boat or ship were near, the sailors might realize that someone was shut up in the box. I eventually felt the box being lifted up into the air slowly. I shouted again. A great shout answered mine, filling me with joy. Then I heard someone calling through the hole loudly in English. I answered, begging for help. The voice replied that I was safe and that a carpenter would immediately come and cut a hole in the top of the box large enough to pull me out. I answered that it was unnecessary, and all that had to be done was for one of the crew to put his finger in the ring and take the box out of the sea and into the ship. Some of them, when hearing me talk so wildly, thought I was crazy, and others laughed, for I hadn't realized yet that I was now among people of my own size and strength. The carpenter came, and in a few minutes cut a hole about 4 feet square, then let down a ladder, which I climbed up, and from there I was taken into the ship in a very weak condition. The sailors were all amazed and asked me 1,000 questions, but the captain, an honest, friendly Englishman, observed that I was very weak and took me into his cabin, gave me some food, and allowed me to rest in his own bed. I slept for many hours, but was constantly disturbed by the dreams of the place I had left and the dangers I had escaped. However, upon waking, I felt better. I ate with the captain, and he explained that he had observed my box floating in the sea through his telescope. Seeing what looked like a floating house, he ordered some men to go out to it in a boat and to pull it to the ship with some long cables. I told the captain all about Brobdingnag and the adventures I had had there, but he thought my brain was disturbed and told me I should rest for the remaining part of the journey to England. I was overjoyed when I finally saw my country and family again.